hope about light. And it's interesting to me that there's two festivals at the darkest time of the year, and both of them have a lot of messianic hope, a lot of light, and a lot of fulfillment of hope and light. Most of you know I'm a tour guide, and I get a lot of hard questions from people. Some of them are quite humorous. Some of them are perplexing. Some are too difficult to answer. And I'll give you just a little hint. Some of you will appreciate this who also work in tourism, that there's sort of a nagging thing that there's two of everything, at least. There's two of everything in Jerusalem. Did you know there's two Mount Zions? One of them I like to call bogus Mount Zion. There's two Gethsemanes. There's two places of ascension on the Mount of Olives. There's at least two. Two Via Dolorosas. You know, you got two tombs to pick and choose from. I sort of like to think two empty tombs, one risen Messiah. That should be a t-shirt somewhere. But there's two of everything. By the way, there's even three of some things, and it gets really intricate, sort of vying for real estate. Who's got the actual site? Christine will probably appreciate this more than the rest of you. You know, there's two places of ascension on the Mount of Olives, right? You know, it's a toss of a coin, or is it? You know, there's only one gospel that speaks about the ascension, only one writer, and he puts it down in Bethany. And that's Luke, right? In the vicinity of Bethany, or on the edge of Bethany. Well, that's sort of an arm of the Mount of Olives. It's a ridge that continues, you know, down the back of the mountain towards the bowling alley. So if some of you feel your scores today are a little higher than normal. So I get a lot of interesting questions. I get a lot of hard questions. Questions I can't answer, but questions that, you know, come up when you're on tour. Like, why are there two demoniacs in Matthew and only one in Luke and Mark? I get tough questions. And, you know, I'm not really licensed to deal with a lot of things like that. Why are there two of everything? I'm going to tell you a story today, and I'm going to read a little bit. Actually, I'd like to read all of Psalm 42 this morning. Because it applies sort of to this time of year, but it also applies to a particular event that happened to me while on tour. And I'll just tell you this little story in bits and pieces. More than 10 years ago, maybe as much as 15 years ago, but I know I was already married at the time, so somewhere in the mid to late 90s, I was working with Shoresh Tours out of Christchurch, and most of our groups were from the UK, and I had this woman, and I realize now I'm being recorded, so if you're listening, I'm not going to say your name. She got off the plane. She came, I don't know her, I've never met this person. She came straight up to me and she said, you know, don't take this personally, but God has told me I'm going to die while I'm here. And, you know, they don't train you for things in guide school. And I don't deal with difficult news like that without a bit of humor. I said, no one dies on my tours, lady. You're going to have to go and join one of David Pileggi's tours. This is a sort of a weird side note, but David Pileggi actually did have someone die on one of his tours. And he is such a plugged-in person. Apparently, this person's family in the U.S. said, no, you know, mother would have wanted to be buried in the Holy Land. And so he called around and actually got her buried in the Greek Orthodox cemetery near Tiberias. And the tour continued. I said, you're going to have to go die on David Pelleggi's tour. He's really good at that. He can arrange things. Nobody dies on my tours. All right, now that's kind of an awkward way to deal with something. I'm just putting it all out here. This is my personality, all right? I'm not a trained neural psychologist. I'm just a tour guide, for crying out loud. I went to prayer. I have to admit, I was stumped. I don't really know exactly what to say to this person. I'm not sure I can let this situation continue. It makes for a very anxious or a lot of anxiety. And so as we're going along, I'm praying for God to show me something. To appear to this woman would be awesome. And I'm throwing out verses as we're driving. You know, we'll go to a site, and I'm throwing out verses that don't apply. Psalm 118, I shall not die, but live. Verses that don't necessarily apply, but they were certainly rolling off my lips because I didn't know how to deal with this situation. It's actually quite a serious thing. The truth is, deep down, I thought maybe this person is actually just depressed. But I do remember calling Dahlia and sort of asking advice and trying to figure out what... I call her when I have difficult times in touring, and I've had a few. I thought I would read a little bit. This is Psalm 42, and this applies to the story. I'd like to read it in Hebrew and then sort of give you my own interpretation, my own translation. Most people believe this is a psalm of David, although it doesn't expressly say so. It could be a priest. Limnatzeach maskil bnei Korach. Ke'ayal ta'arog al afike maim, ken nafshi ta'arog elecha Elohim. Tzama'e nafshi le'Elohim, le'el chai, metai avo ve'era'e pnei Elohim. Ha'itali dimati lechem yomam ve'laila. Be'emor elai, kol ayom, aye Elohecha. Ele yazkara ve'ashpecha, alai nafshi, ki evor basach edadem ad beit Elohim. Bekor rina v'toda hamon chogeg. Ma tishtachachi nafshi v'tehimi alai. Ochili le'Elohim ki od odenu yeshuot panav. Elohai alai nafshi tishtachach al ken ezkorcha me'eretz yarden ve'chermonim. Mehar mitzar, tahum el tahum kore, lekol tzinorecha, kol mashbarecha, vegalecha, alai avaro. Yomam yitzave Adonai chasdo, uvalaila shiro, imi tfila leel chayai. Omra leel salai, lama shachachtani, Lama koder elech balachatz oyev. Baretzach atzmutai hecherfuni tzorerai. Bamram elai kol hayom aye Elohecha. Ma tishtochachi nafshi uma tehimi alai. Ochili le'Elohim ki od adon odenu yeshuot panai. Ve'elohai. It's actually, for me to read it in Hebrew, there are many, many things that come out. You could probably do a whole semester on this one passage, but it's about a person who suffers depression. And I think it's a very real thing. A lot of people suffer depression. I think I might be a magnet for depressed people. It happens on tour quite frequently. I don't know what it is. I thought I was a happy person, but I must be a magnet. And people come to me with all kinds of very odd expressions of depression. You know, maybe it's a new ministry outlet or something. As the deer yearns for streams of water, so I yearn for you, O God. I thirst for God, the living God. When will I come to see the face of God or the countenance of God? My tears are my bread both day and night. All day long they say to me, where is your God? These things I will remember as I pour out my soul. How I used to be with the multitude in procession, crossing over to the house of God with a voice of singing and thanks. So many people celebrating or feasting. Why be so downcast, my soul? Why all these groaning sounds? I will put my hope in God. I will still praise Him, the salvation of His countenance. My God, when I am downcast, I will remember you. From the land of the Jordan, I've got a few photos here. These are from previous tours. The quality of these photos are probably not so great. And I was kind of hoping it would be a little darker in here. There's a few photos, if Joe can get them up, of Mount Hermon, or the area of Hermonim. By the way, it's plural. There's a lot of them. There's a lot of snow-capped bumps on this ridge. And I don't know where Har Mitzar is. It could be a foothill of Mount Hermon. I'm almost of the opinion that it's sort of in a nominal sense anyway, that it might even be, you know, symbolic of Jerusalem, Mount Zion. It's possible that this writer, is thinking about places far from Jerusalem, where springs come out. Most of you have probably been here. You recognize the Banias, Mapal, one of the tributaries of the Upper Jordan. Very, very beautiful. I think the psalmist, most of you probably have read this, is thinking about this area and waterfalls like this one when he talks about, I remember you from the land of the Jordan and from Hermon, the small mountain. Deep calls to deep by the roar of your waterfalls or cataracts. All your waves and breakers have rolled over me. It's very likely that this is in the background of the writer in his mind. Maybe another photo or two. These just didn't turn out so well. So there's Mount Hermon, and we hope that this weekend we'll get a lot of winter rain and snow up there, so it will be snow-capped. Hermonim, it's a big, long ridge. It's probably over 100 miles long. Israel controls one little snippet, just enough to have a ski resort, right? And then from Mount Mitzar, like Tsair, young or small, could be one of the foothills. There's one more photo here. Actually, nobody knows where this Mount Mitzar is. So this is actually taken near the Nimrod Fortress. It's above Banias. Some of you probably recognize it. I'm standing in there just to give perspective. But that's also how I behave on tour. Not a magnet for depression. All right? There we go. Some people think it might be in this area. Honestly, don't know. That's one of the foothills of Mount Hermon. This psalmist, if it's David himself or a priest, is thinking about these scenes. Maybe Mount Hermon in snow. Maybe some of these beautiful waterfalls, some of these beautiful water images. And this person reflects back on these things and is encouraged, right? I will remember you from the land of the Jordan and Hermon from the small mountain. Deep calls to deep by the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have rolled over me. By day God sends his faithful love, and by night his song is with me, a prayer to the living God. I shall say to my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go around in mourning, harassed by an enemy? My enemies taunt me, and it kills my very bones. They say to me all day long, where is your God? Why is my soul downcast? Why all these sighs? I will put my hope in God. I will still praise him, my Savior and my God. Back to the story. This person who was depressed, and by the way, it was about this time of year. It was one of the winter months. It's been so long, I don't remember exactly when the tour was now. We were going to different sites. We were reading different verses. And a bit later, believe it or not, we were at Masada. Not a really positive place to take a depressed person. And I myself have battled with depression. I think I mentioned this last time I was up on the podium. I even was suicidal at one point as a young man. And I still battle with it. I still battle with depressing thoughts, even though I've got an amazing world around me, very positive world around me. I have all these holidays, all these festivals of light. I have the land of the Bible working with me. I've got one of the greatest jobs in the world where I get to go out and show people biblical places and get them all excited. And I feel the next moment sort of like this person. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why do I get down? Why am I on a roller coaster ride? So I experience this sometimes. And maybe this person realized, oh, this is the guy I need to tell, that I'm going to die while I'm here. So here we are on Masada. And I'm dealing with all these subjects that you have to deal with. Suicide, it's pretty depressing. And this person, she stood up and she said to the whole group, she said, I lost my husband and I lost my only son and I'm depressed. And I told everybody that God told me I was going to die. She said, that's not true. She said, I just wanted to die. And she said, I've found reasons for living. It was this psalm. It wasn't even the, I don't know, she obviously doesn't know Hebrew, but it was this psalm, not one that I would have guessed. We went to a lot of different sites. We talked a lot of different things. This was not one of the verses that I was really pushing. So this was a God thing. God used the land. He used some words to really encourage this person. And she said, I'm going to go home and I'm going to tell all my friends and family, people that I know who are also depressed. She had a group of lady friends who were also kind of in her category. And I'm going to find ways to encourage them. I'm going to take this stuff back with me. I thought it was appropriate to mention this today because we are in between two great festivals of light, but we are at the darkest time of the year. And a lot of people suffer. A lot of people suffer down times, depressing times. We have a lot to think about. We have a lot of memories, landscape and memory, Bible verses and memory. We're surrounded by it. We really don't have too many excuses, but we're human. So I thought I would just give you a word of encouragement. There's a lot of light all around us to think about, a lot of beautiful things to think about, a lot of positive things, and may the Lord bless you and be a memory of light for you this week. Amen.
The chorus we're going to sing is right out of Yoni's message, the first verse of Psalm 42, as a deer pants for the water. And I trust that we've all been encouraged by the word of the Lord this morning, and the message of that He is our hope, He is our light. And whether you suffer from depression or other things that plague you, He is the answer, and we want to be a support to one another. Some have said, I don't know if it was Hal Ronnie that said that, this line is kind of like the fifth gospel, and it can speak loud and clear to those that are going through hard times, and just seeing the sights that often, I have to confess, I get all too used to seeing passing one of the two Mount Zions on a daily basis, and I get numb to some of these places. But if we allow ourselves to dwell on the importance of the events that took place there, we will be encouraged. Father, your word says that you're the lifter of our heads, and we pray for any who are facing hard times or just missing loved ones and family and friends. Pray that you'll be closer to them than a brother. And Lord, that you'll meet them in the place of depression or darkness, and that you'll shed forth your light and your glory upon that person or persons. Thank you, Lord, for bringing restoration and healing and your glory back into our hearts and lives. Thank you, Father, for this day. We pray for any who have yet to confess you as Lord and Savior, that you would meet them and that you would reveal yourself to that person. Perhaps not in such a dramatic way as we heard from Christine, where you've appeared in such a dramatic vision. But Lord, we can all trust you whom we haven't seen, because your word is true and been proven so many countless times in our lives. We bless you, Lord, that the miracle of new birth can take place even now as we look to you, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Thank you, Father, for being with us today. And help us to be a blessing one to another in the moments that follow. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Lord bless you. And greet some of the new people that are here today. Amen.